Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.
Are you missing the sounds that matter most? What if you could hear every word, every laugh, and every moment crystal clear without spending thousands on expensive hearing aids? Introducing Audionatum, the world's most affordable FDA-approved hearing aid. With the revolutionary A2 chip, you get premium sound, zero background noise, and a 24-hour rechargeable battery. They even have Bluetooth connectivity to connect to your cell phone or TV. Unlike those traditional bulky $5,000 prescription hearing aids, the Audionatum is 90% smaller, 20 times cheaper, and works instantly. No visits to the audiologist needed. Audionatum has over 500,000 happy customers who have trusted Audionatum to restore their hearing. Our 100% money-back guarantee means zero risk to try. Don't like them? Simply return them and get your money back. They also come with a lifetime warranty. For the next 72 hours, the Audionatum is 53% off. Go to tryhearingaid.com right now to order your pair for only $99. Again, go to tryhearingaid.com to order your pair for only $99. Order now before it's too late, as these hearing aids have sold out over 10 times this year. With Audionatum, you can hear life again.
It's Monday.
It's March 10th.
And the word of the day is lickspittle, which means a person who fawns upon someone in power for personal gain. Used in a sentence, the U.S. government of 2025 is a lickspittle circle jerk, just like the founding fathers intended.
I mean, they had sassy paddles, Heath. What more do you want from them?
I feel like lickspittle was only coined because they didn't talk about sperm back then. I'm
fair,
no illusions.
I'm Eli Bosnick.
I'm Heath Enright. And broadcasting delayed from America's far center, we are the Skeptocrats.
On this week's episode, Al Green is the only guy with those glasses from They Live.
The U.S. will raise its ticket prices just when nobody wants to go there anymore.
And Hillary Clinton's pizza and ping pong fuck dungeon remains a secret.
Nice.
For now.
But first, the rest of the intro music.
Joining me for headlines tonight are my fellow skeptic rats, No Illusions, and Eli Bosnick. Gentlemen, only a week until St. Paddy's Day. I'm already getting ready. What's your favorite thing about the culture of my ancestors from the Emerald Isle?
Ooh.
I like the way that they need not apply.
Yeah, and I like that we aren't canceled for that joke. So
that
it
is
works
nice. Yeah, right.
I should also say it was International Women's Day on Saturday, but that's like illegal now here.
Well, I use Google Calendar, so.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, now it's like International like Jeanine Pirro Day or something in the United States. I don't know.
All right.
In our lead story tonight, President Fetid Kumquat delivered his joint address to Congress last Tuesday, so-called because it's like the State of the Union, but I have to smoke a joint first. And in his rambling blather that would have embarrassed the door guard who only tells lies, he managed to set records for both the longest such speech in American history and the one with the most demonstrable falsehoods. Because let's face it, it's statistically impossible for him to set the first record without also taking the second.
Yeah, that was going to happen.
Sorry, little quibble, but do we have to add joint to the things that Noah has to smoke a joint before he can endure them? Because joint Bosnick doesn't roll off the tongue nearly as well, and I'd like to object.
But joint Eli does, though.
Ooh.
For their part, now, Democrats chose a variety of ways to express their displeasure with the direction the Trump regime is taking the country. This ranged from wearing the color Republicans are most scared of on the pink end of the spectrum and making those motherfuckers drag my ass out on the green end of that spectrum.
Fucking Al Green.
Right.
Ooh, hell yeah, baby.
Yeah. Democratic Representative Al Green, the 77-year-old Louisiana lawmaker, stood up minutes into the speech and yelled at Trump until he was physically removed from the chamber. Johnson insisted that Green be removed because members had to respect the chamber with proper decorum. An accusation,
oh, do we?
Well, yeah, is something somewhat undercut by his own party chanting "na na 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 goodbye" as he was escorted out.
Okay, yeah. This was the only part of the whole thing that I enjoyed. Al Green was amazing. He told Trump to go fuck himself. And then Mike Johnson was like, I'm telling dad, he's disrupting. And Mike Johnson had to get a sergeant at arms to physically handle the threat from the 77-year-old man with a cane.
You've never seen a look of deeper, I didn't do this job to do this, than the guy being like,
yes.
Al, please just do the turnaround and walk thing. I can't physically make myself move this old guy. And look, I know to our American listeners, this decorum is like a weird part of politics. But look, this is a move towards our inevitable return to British Parliament, which, if you have never seen it, is basically rap battles from 8 Mile, but with less waiting your turn. It's the best. I can't wait.
No, it could be fun. But Green's angry shouts about Trump not having a mandate and needing to be impeached would represent pretty much the end of the true things that were said that night. So I guess I should concede that Trump's brag about the immediate drop in illegal border crossings after he took office is true, though I'm not sure how strong a brag "I've made the country a demonstrably less desirable place to go" really is. And even with that legitimate victory, or victory by the fucking inhumane standards that Republicans use, he still had to lie, saying illegal borders crossings in February were, quote, by far the lowest ever recorded, end quote, which is a fucking ridiculous thing to say about a number that goes back to 1925 and, of course, is not remotely fucking true.
The recording guy got fired by Elon, so technically zero got recorded.
Yeah, right.
There's none today.
Fake
right,
news.
Right, right. Now, it's also worth noting that even after taking a victory lap around the imaginary immigration problem he supposedly solved, he still spent a huge chunk of his speech talking about all the terrible immigration problems that he needs to solve with his mass deportations and fucking concentration camps. It also didn't stop him from scaremongering about whole towns, quote, buckling under the weight of migrant occupation, end quote.
Yeah, when he says buckling, that usually means a crumbling ghost town in the Rust Belt gets a revitalized economy, but they also have to make adjustments to local infrastructure,
yes,
like making more schools and looking around before you say a racial slur in public because you might get beat up more
they
often.
They won't tell me if this one is Despacito. If they won't tell me.
Struggle is real.
Yeah. And speaking of scaremongering, he also spent a huge amount of the speech bullying the victim du jour. That would be, of course, trans women. He touted his executive order that supposedly negated the existence of trans people by accidentally declaring everyone female. He also tried to appropriate the term big lie to refer to the very existence of trans people, saying that he would forever end, quote, the lie that any child is trapped in the wrong body. This is a big lie, and our message to every child in America is that you are perfect exactly the way God made you, end quote. Which is no doubt while he'll be outlawing glasses and braces in an upcoming EO, I'm sure.
Yeah. If I may cross our branding streams a bit with a message for some Christians, if your religion is the branding for the torture and murder of children, I don't actually care how much soup you give out on Sundays. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't exist.
Yeah,
you know what
we'll
I'm saying?
We'll figure out the soup.
Yep.
We can find soup.
Yep.
Big ladle, you say. Big ladle.
We also had a few whoppers in defense of co-president Musk and his Twitterizing of the federal government. Trump claimed without evidence that the Department of Government Efficiency has uncovered shocking amounts of fraud in Social Security, no doubt a prelude to slashing spending on the program, and included the debunked and obvious fucking lie that the databases showed millions of 109-year-olds receiving benefits. And look, this is true in the sense that, like, many dead people remain in the Social Security databases, but they're not getting money.
Yeah, just big balls sadly pulling another lying receipt off their big wall of receipts that they have. All right, boss, I'm gonna flip the days since we lied back to zero. Oh, you know what? Never mind. It's already zero. We're good. Never mind.
Right, yeah.
We have one of those.
And, of course, it was in reference to the supposed fraud that Musk is rooting out that he made his most significant comment of the night, significant not because of its implications, but because of the staggering levels of stupidity it betrays. And that would be, of course, the claim that the Biden administration had set aside $8 million in taxpayer money to, quote, make mice transgender. End
okay.
quote.
Stupid.
There's no way that's going to cost $8 million. They're already furries.
So, Now, so what actually happened was that they saw the word transgenic and figured they knew good and damn well what that transgen prefix meant.
Come on, Donald, just think it through. That $8 million program would fuck up the integrity of the maze races for the cisgenic lady mice. It doesn't even make sense. How are you getting science there? That's what you think.
So, of course, there were federal grants to test hormone treatments on mice to determine their safety, but that's just a thing that we do with medical treatments, right? We test them on mice. So to the extent that government-funded researchers are giving hormone therapies to mice, they're not doing so to make the mice transgender. Although the idea that they're making trans mice to hang out with all the gay frogs has no doubt already taken root in their collective nightmares, which is probably the only silver lining of this entire fucking speech.
Yeah, where's that Watership Down remake, huh? Disney owes us, everybody.
Okay, Eli's confusing rabbits and mice, but he definitely does read books. That is official. Yes. That's locked in.
You know, I was going to do Redwall, and I was like, nah, not enough people will get Redwall. Yes. I gotta give them those broad references like Watership Down. Yes.
See? Eli reads two books.
If only there was some other fictional property that centered around mice. And by the way, if you're wondering just how far we've descended, I want to draw your attention to a Was To press release that was posted at whitehouse.gov the following day that might as well have been titled Was To. It opens with these actual words, quote, "Last night, President Donald J. Trump highlighted many of the egregious examples of waste, fraud, and abuse funded by the American taxpayers, including $8 million spent by the Biden administration, quote, for making mice transgender," end quote, continuing the quote from the press release. The fake news losers at CNN immediately tried to fact check it, but President Trump was right, and then in parentheses, as usual, end quote. And then, that's the real shit that our government's putting out. And then it goes on to list a bunch of line items, none of which are money spent to make mice transgender. And look, I want to be clear that I'm just picking a few of the most egregious departures from reality to highlight in this thing. If you couldn't bring yourself to watch it, I can't blame you and I wouldn't recommend it. But the important thing isn't just that it's bullshit, right? It's that it's bullshit so egregious that they're clearly confident that nobody on their side gives a fuck if it's true anymore. They're just being told what to pretend to believe, and the Trump regime is rightly confident that they will play along.
Yeah, the night literally started with a fully non-ironic USA, USA chant. Like, everything that happens after that for any event ever is going to be lying and stupid.
Yep.
Yeah. Except maybe, like, the U.S. women's soccer team winning again because they're awesome. But, like, don't do those chants.
And speaking of just eating it up, it's time for a word from our first sponsor this week, Factor.
And that's game.
I can't believe it.
Dude, you have too many lands in the deck.
But I need lands.
Not that many.
Hey, guys. What you doing?
I just beat Eli at Magic for the fifth game in a row, so he has to do whatever I want.
I know. It's the worst. Last week, he made me go to the grocery store and gather his supplies.
Are they mostly cheese?
There are so many different kinds of cheese.
A lot of different kinds. Yeah. Well, Eli, you're in luck this week because yesterday, I got my Factor.
What's Factor?
Factor has chef-made gourmet meals that make eating well easy. They're dietitian approved and ready to heat and eat in 2 minutes, so you can fuel right and feel great no matter what life throws at you.
Even dust drinker?
Well, maybe not that, but it's not just meals. Factor can help you feel your best all day long with wholesome smoothies, breakfasts, grab-and-go snacks, and more add-ons.
It's true. They have these incredible egg bites Anna's been having for breakfast. We added 8 orders of them to our last box.
Love egg bites.
All right, guys. I'm sold. Where do I sign up?
Eat smart with Factor. Get started at factormeals.com/factorpodcast and use the code FACTORPODCAST to get 50% off your first box plus free shipping. That's code FACTORPODCAST at factormeals.com/factorpodcast to get 50% off plus free shipping on your first box.
All right, guys. Thanks.
All right. Another round?
You got it.
How many lands does your deck have, anyway?
100.
What?
Just let him learn. He's got to learn.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
And we're back. Next up in headlines, and let me get a piece in our time news. Ever since Donald Trump was elected, I've wondered to myself what the future will say about these times. Obviously, those of us unlucky enough to live in the right now are treated to every blundering word, every lie, every failed attempt at despotism. But what will the history books say? What will they want to talk about? You know, besides how a country with that many guns apparently just had one brave guy in it. But if I were to guess, last week's little demonstration of Vladimir Putin's premier White House puppet show in the form of the so-called peace talks with Ukraine will probably make the list.
I hated it so much. I was so mad watching this.
Yeah.
So, Ukraine, big favor to ask. I know it's a big favor. You got a lot going on. While you're negotiating a deal, please just demand a televised cage fight between Zelensky and J.D. Vance. It's just like a small little add-on.
Yeah, no, it'd be easy to talk him into it. Given your guys' accents, he might actually think that you meant couch match.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, word of explanation before we get started, because there isn't a fucking single news outlet that will outright say this, but the reason this meeting and everything that followed happened is because Vladimir Putin has promised to personally enrich Donald Trump if he can get Ukraine to agree to his demands.
Yes.
Now, he's going to do that by building mineral rights for the United States into said demands, but I'm sure Donald Trump will get a giant money bag with a dollar sign on it in a televised ceremony as well. Also, Putin probably has blackmail on Donald, and Donald owes banks he controls hundreds of millions of dollars,
yeah.
But that's why this meeting happened and went the way that it did, in case you're wondering.
And just to be clear, Putin and Trump, they might have secret promises or there might be secret blackmail behind the scenes, but the mineral rights thing is all the way in front of the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
Trump openly held a meeting with Russia and not Ukraine about giving away land in Ukraine. And at the same time, in a separate thing, he demanded a mineral rights deal from Zelensky that gives away future mining profits to the U.S. This is a very public shakedown of Ukraine and a very public alliance with Russia. It's terrible. Like, the secret money bag with the dollar sign might as well be a comically oversized check from Ed McMahon on live TV, like you said.
No, honestly, I think that the mineral rights thing was just a poison pill, right? I don't think Trump and Putin actually believed for a second that Zelensky would entertain that idea. And when he did, that fucked up their whole plan.
Right, yeah. So the meeting starts off with Trump just straight up repeating Russian propaganda, right? Something he's been doing for a while. Noah actually covered Trump's shift in language about Ukraine and attitude in a speech in our last episode. Well, so this was him doing that to Zelensky's face. Unfortunately for Donald, those same history books I was talking about at the beginning of the story are probably also going to mention that the defining characteristic of Vladimir Zelensky is that he doesn't give in to bullies. So rather than, I don't know, letting Donald Trump say whatever the fuck he wanted, Zelensky very clearly pointed out that Trump is a puppet and then Russia very much considers the USA a target, to which J.D. Vance countered, I'm not making this up, that Zelensky hadn't said enough thank yous.
Yeah, which, to be clear, he said a bazillion fucking times, but it also doesn't fucking matter.
Okay, I'm taking away the vice president title. Your job is background sniveler, JD. That's your job. You're the White House version of the Johnny Lawrence sidekick who yells, get him a body bag. Yeah, that's your vibes all the time.
Right. So after that exchange, Trump summarily ended military aid to Ukraine, which, if continued, would doom them in their fight against Russia. So this week, the two sides are getting together in Saudi Arabia to continue negotiations. And look, Trump's bullying may result in a deal. And if and when that happens, look, your shitty Trump-supporting uncle is going to say that this was Donald's plan all along because he's a businessman who knows how to get things done. But being willing for an entire country of innocent people to get slaughtered, that's not a negotiation tactic. It's fascism. And it's your moral duty to point that out to your Trump-supporting uncle, unfailingly. I mean, look, you have a lot of other moral duties about your Trump-supporting uncle as well, but you're probably not the one brave guy in the country full of guns I was talking about at the beginning. So if you could at least just do the first thing, I would be grateful. Just point it out to your uncle. Thank you.
Show him your gun collection. That's what Eli meant.
Just help him
up close.
And in everywhere you want to flee news.
Fantastic.
Donald Trump is planning to offer a new visa for rich people in other countries who want to buy a spot in the U.S. with an easy path to citizenship. He's calling it a gold card because, you know, green card, but gold. And he wants to sell them for $5 million each. According to Trump, that's going to give you green card privileges. Wait for it. Plus.
Ooh. Okay, here's the thing.
Get into the lounge.
I feel like if you have $5 million, the last thing you want is U.S. citizenship, no? That's like saying we're going to give all the hot people AIDS.
So up until now, I feel like it sure has been hard for millionaires to get U.S. citizenship. So it's got plenty of streamline on this.
So the gold card would be replacing something called the EB-5 program, which was started in 1990 as a way of attracting investors to the U.S. To get an EB-5 visa, applicants have to invest about $1 million in a U.S. project and prove they would create at least 10 new jobs. And the investment requirement is about 20% lower if you finance a project in a region with high unemployment. In many cases, the program, it's been effective, but over the years, it's also been flagged for some abuses. Just random example off the top of my head of the abuse. Jared Kushner's company used it during Trump's first term to get Chinese investors for his thing and showed him a photo of his father-in-law / president of the United States during his pitch. Well, apparently Trump and Secretary of Commerce Howard Lutnick want to deal with that potential for abuse by replacing the EB-5 program with buy a gold card for $5 million. No questions asked. We know you're a job creator. We trust you. No need to prove it. Just $5 million.
Right. No, they're replacing a program that had a high potential for abuse for one that just is abuse.
Yeah. To be fair, with Trump's new immigration policy aiming for how white was your grandpa, maybe they're hoping for a more wallet-sized loophole. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So you're probably thinking, that sounds pretty shady, but how much money are we going to make? Great question. The answer is $5 trillion or maybe $50
trillion. Oh,
yeah. Good to have a realistic range in mind. That was nice. According to Trump, we just need to sell 1 million gold cards and that's $5 trillion. And the math checks out.
Yeah, no, it
he
does.
He also added, if we sell 10 million cards, that's a total of $50 trillion.
Holy shit, again, what if you sell 100 million?
Nailed the, he didn't work it out that far. He didn't work it out that far, but he nailed the two he was able to do. Just for the record, though, the EB-5 program gets about 8,000 people a year.
Yeah, and according to wealthofcommonsense.com, only about 8.4 million people on Earth have $5 billion.
Oh, so well.
Those folks better get fucking quick. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right? Okay, so who's going to qualify for the gold card? Are there any requirements beyond the $5 million? Of course there are. According to Howard Lutnick, they'll have to go through vetting. We're going to make sure they're wonderful, world-class global citizens. So, sounds airtight and not at all vague.
Yep.
And Trump got asked a related question about whether Russian oligarchs would qualify. Trump said, quote, possibly. I know some Russian oligarchs that are very nice people.
Great employers. Great
yeah,
employers,
right,
good
right,
bosses.
Yeah. Now, to be clear, you can either have $5 million to spare or be a wonderful world-class global citizen. This is an or situation.
Yeah, I guess the oligarchs would only have to make 9 jobs if you count Trump as one. That's fun. So one other important detail here. Congress determines the qualifications for citizenship.
Like
no, they don't. I don't know why I would say a law. That was so ridiculous. According to Trump, quote, we have it all worked out from the legal standpoint. It's totally legal to do.
Huh.
It's somewhat like a green card, but at a higher level of sophistication.
Oh.
End quote. How sophisticated? Gold amounts of sophisticated. It's like a green card with a monocle and a Philip Roth novel that it carries around. So we'll see how that goes. Awesome.
This is what Noah hears when we're trying to pitch him on a fancy restaurant.
Is that a cucumber with a monocle? I'm not going there. All right. Well, on that note, we're going to take a quick break for a word from our sponsor, Trust and Will. And then the creature does the damage for you.
Amazing! So I actually only needed like 90 lands.
Probably 95 to be safe, but
right.
Yeah, you're getting the idea.
Right, 95.
Hey guys, you still playing Magic?
Yeah, you want to play?
Oh, I'd love to, but I'm meeting with an estate attorney this week, and she needs me to capture my grandfather's broken promises with this dream catcher.
Wow, that seems involved.
Tell me about it. Yeah, I figure I just kind of wave it over his grave and hope. I don't know. This estate planning stuff is a real pain.
Well, Noah, if you want to take care of your loved ones when you're gone without the hassle, why don't you try Trust and Will?
Interrupt. What's Trust and Will?
You don't have to say interrupt.
Sorry. Force of habit. I learned in 93 when there were interrupts.
Trust and Will makes creating your will easy and time efficient, meaning you can focus on other important tasks. And now you can get 10% off at trustandwill.com/skeptocrat.
I don't know, Eli. Have you actually tried it?
I sure have. I used Trust and Will to set up me and Anna when they first became a sponsor, and it was so easy that I immediately helped my mom to use it to set herself up. Their simple step-by-step process guides you from start to finish, one question at a time. Plus, live customer support is available through the phone, chat, and email.
All right, guys, I'm sold. Where do I sign up?
Uncomplicate the process with Trust and Will. Protect what matters most in minutes at trustandwill.com/skeptocrat. And get 10% off plus free shipping. That's 10% off and free shipping at trustandwill.com/skeptocrat.
All right, thanks.
Oh, and Noah?
Yeah?
You probably want to wave that over your grandmother's grave. I'm guessing he mostly broke his promises to her.
Ugh. I liked it better when the outro was about Magic the Gathering.
Yeah, but I used up all the stuff I know about magic when I Googled the name of a commander deck earlier, so.
Sure.
There's 100 cards in a commander deck. All lands.
Dust. All lands. I Googled that, too.
And we're back. Next up in headlines, in Elon and the Felon news.
Fantastic.
Thank you. There are new signs that there might be a strain in the unholy union of Trump and Musk, a revelation that should come as no surprise between the two most divorced living men. But yeah, it's becoming increasingly clear that Trump might be looking for a way to distance himself from Musk's increasingly unpopular efforts to gut the parts of the federal government he's not actively bilking. And the latest sign came last Thursday when Trump directed cabinet members to be more involved in deciding which government workers will be fired.
Hey, my man, I had a game show where my catchphrase was, "You're fired," and I am telling you, you're overdoing
yes,
it.
Yes, right, is where we are. So, as we've previously reported, the Doge bag-in-chief's draconian mass firings haven't been popular with anyone but short-sighted billionaire libertarians and maggots who just assume that anytime reasonable people are angry, something good must be happening. The ongoing cuts have led to a soft rebellion even within the Trump administration, with several cabinet officials rejecting Musk's authority in both his personnel decisions and the stupid fucking five things I did at my job emails. They've also led to town halls so vitriolic that Republican leaders are now just recommending that their members avoid their constituents as much as possible. It's also led to increasing pressure on Trump from basically every other person in his party to do something to rein in the attempts to defund the very thing his cabinet members are trying to defraud.
Yeah. Okay, let me hit you guys with a spicy meatball of a take. If you're a good person and you're working for the Trump administration right now, maybe a job change is a good idea right now. That's all I'm saying. Okay, and now I know what you're thinking. I know what you're thinking.
Almost all people getting fired, they were working for the Biden administration, maybe the Obama administration.
No,
too.
Is that not what you were thinking. That is not what you were thinking. Okay. That is not what you were thinking. You are not nearly made of as much straw as I need you to be for this.
What were you thinking?
What was one thinking,
Eli?
This is what Hoomst was thinking. You were thinking, Eli, if good people leave, they'll just be replaced by evil people. And that's true. But one, that's already happening. Your dad voted for it. And two, I don't know how many bonus points we give out to the people who stayed working at the postal office in Nazi Germany because of their dedication to public service. You know, like I'm saying, check out LinkedIn. This is my take. Check
out
LinkedIn.
Perfect nuance as usual. No notes, Eli. If you're in the military, find a private sector army on LinkedIn.
There you go.
Yep.
Yeah.
A postal worker,
sure.
Do a Pony Express startup. That's
sure,
cool. Go on Shark Tank. Air traffic controller? Get a podcast. You know how to work the mics, right?
Thank you.
Everybody's good to go.
Can I say I feel supported today? I thought I was going to get pushed back, but I'm held.
Yeah,
I'm held in the light.
This is a spicy meatball of a take in that it foretells a pain in the ass. But after weeks of rising tension within the administration, Trump is now starting to backtrack a bit on his support support for Musk's haphazard dismantling of the government, mostly because it's so fucking unpopular that a Tesla Cybertruck can't even make it through a fucking Mardi Gras parade without being pelted so much that they actually have to take an emergency exit. Thank you, New Orleans. You're fucking awesome.
Well, it went right through the window. That was not supposed to happen. Or it was.
Well, yeah, right. Nailed it. So on Thursday, Trump issued a very I'm still the president gosh darn it statement that was clearly meant to knock Musk down a peg or two.
Yeah, and during that same day, Trump had to stop a fight between Elon Musk and Marco Rubio during a cabinet meeting.
Yep.
Musk was yelling at Rubio to fire more people, and Rubio was like, what about the 1,500 people in my department that took your stupid fucking buyout email deal? You want me to, like, rehire them so we can fire them again with more spectacle? Trump at that point had to jump in and be like, Elon, stop being mean to Marco. He's sad right now. Let him sell his soul at his own pace. He's very sad.
Yeah. Now, Keith, I have it on the authority of a very all caps tweet that Elon and Marco have a great relationship and that any statement other than that is fake news. So
exclamation mark, exclamation mark, exclamation mark. Yeah.
We're not even supposed to talk about this, according to Trump, in his press conference when he got a question about it.
Right. Now, to be clear, Trump didn't go any further than to basically say that his department heads would get the first crack at radically reducing their workforces, and if they didn't, he'd send Elon Musk back in with his chainsaw or whatever. And that's pretty soft pushback, but Trump is pretty soft, so that's to be expected. And as much as this is about deflating Musk's authority, it's also a response to legal challenges that are pointing out that DOJ's dartboard bullshit isn't a legal way to reduce the federal workforce. So, you know, part of this is just to cloak the illegality in a thin veil of consideration, but it's still a crack in a dam that's holding back an enormous amount of ego. So I feel like that might be damn significant in the long run.
And in what a Mangione news, every new thing I learn about Luigi Mangione makes me love him more. And that's saying a lot. And this is a man who first made his way into my heart with his disposal of unrepentant drunk driver and sometimes healthcare leech CEO Brian Thompson.
Allegedly, he could have just
allegedly,
been there,
but he's innocent. But turns out I'm not the only one, because this week his legal team had to release a statement to my fellow Fangionis that Luigi.
Is that really what they're called? That's
that
awesome.
Is what they are called. I found it on Reddit. There's a thread of fan names for Fangionis and they're all fantastic. Anyways, Luigi is receiving so much mail that they would appreciate it if people would limit themselves to 5 photos at a time.
Okay, so, you know, stipulate, murder's wrong, blah, blah, blah. But if my sculptor dad was alive today, he'd be making beautiful marble statues of Luigi and, like, switching them in for Confederate generals all over the country, wherever he could find it. And I'd have to help. I'd be, like, making sure everything's flush and plumb or else I get in big trouble. Mm-hmm. It has to be flush and plumb when you switch a sculpture in.
I don't know, Heath. I've seen the pictures. I'm pretty sure that man is already carved out of marble, so.
Oh, isn't he, though?
Really is.
So, aside from special protections, a fabulous jailhouse fade, and courtroom photos that could moisten an Arizona cactus, Luigi has also been receiving quite a bit of fan mail. The latest count that I could find was in The Independent weeks ago, and it had it at over 200 pieces of mail. But that number has obviously grown, as his legal team had to put out a statement attempting to staunch the flow. Quote, this is their real statement. I'm not exaggerating in any way. Luigi is allowed to receive photos via Shutterfly and FreePrints and according with mail procedures while in custody. Due to the volume of photos, they could take longer than usual to be screened and shared. Luigi appreciates the photos that are sent and kindly asks that people send no more than 5 photos at a time. Please note that every photo received is screened and reviewed by law enforcement. End real quote.
Okay, like, seems like maybe it was meant to be a warning, but to me it felt like an invitation. Right? Like, this jail has a giant stack of porn.
Wait,
now,
so
right?
The cops
for sure.
Have to look at whatever
it's
I
so,
send.
And that's what I'm saying, right? Because for that, they're obviously like, Eli, put your spread butthole away. And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. I send Luigi my spread butthole, and I get to make a cop look at my spread butthole.
Yes, right. Yeah.
Usually, I go to jail for that. Anyways, just when you think this guy couldn't get any better, we learned this week which photo he has chosen to keep. Is it the love letter of a famous celebrity? Is it that nude photo set I sent him, lovingly titled, You Can Pick a Hole?
Okay, hey, don't make the guy pick just one.
First, he picks a hole first. No.
Oh, this is an order. Okay.
No. It was a letter from the mom of a sick kid. The mom, calling herself Karen, shared the struggles she has getting coverage for her very ill child, who's in need of constant care. And Luigi replied, asking for a photo of the two of them to put up in his cell. Because he is an angel from heaven.
Well, I mean, to be fair, he also hung up Eli's pick a hole picture, but no judgment.
That's true. Judgment. Yeah, no. So yeah, we will obviously keep you informed of any updates that happen with Luigi's case. But just one last thing, moral obligation. We do have to mention it because I know we have a few listeners in New York City who may be called for jury duty. And I need to remind you, innocent until proven guilty.
That is the law. Also, let's just remind one more time, really good message that came out of all of this is universal health care. Don't stop yelling about it. That's what we need. Should be like the top of the platform. And finally tonight, in failing the Epstein Barr exam news, the Department of Justice, led by new Attorney General Pam Bondi, wanted to appease the public demand for information about Jeffrey Epstein, allegedly deceased. So Bondi announced the bombshell release of a secret trove of previously classified documents. The QAnon community was agog. And then they ended up getting a bunch of stuff that was definitely already public. There was also a good deal of redacted information, which is obviously how it works when you want to protect the privacy of, you know, children who were victims of terrible sex crimes, for example. The Q Squad got really mad about that because thousands of amateur detectives can't solve a giant international conspiracy from their 2010 laptop that runs Linux and Tor for security if they don't have all the information.
Okay, don't come for the Linux and Tor, perverts, Heath. What are you, Cara Santa Maria? Let's fucking...
All right, so, but to be clear here, they're trying to solve a murder that doesn't exist by getting a list that doesn't exist that would definitely have the name of all the people they vote for on it if it did exist. That's where we are in the world.
Okay, so what's the appropriate way to release information about a very sensitive topic like this? That was the question for the head of our Justice Department. And she landed on far-right YouTuber content as the proper thematic presentation. Like, how do I carefully present this information? I'm going to help out a guy named DC Drano with something for the gram. The Attorney General of the United States thought to herself and then did that. So Bondi presented physical binders of documents to far-right influencers named Rogan O'Handley, a.k.a. DC Drano, also Kaya Rachik, a.k.a. Libs of TikTok, the litter boxes in schools lady, among other things, Liz Wheeler, get a stupid moniker, Liz, and Jack Posobiec. Stop wearing cowboy hats. You live in New Jersey. He's wearing a cowboy hat. Stupid picture for the gram. And
so
we got to see these four idiots standing outside the White House before a meeting at the White House that they had. And of course, they took some pics for the gram, showing them holding up the binders that say the Epstein files, phase one. And they look truly insane. The picture is ridiculous.
Yeah. So basically what happened is the Trump administration decided we don't have time to make up lies about this shit. You guys
yes,
do it.
Right. Right. So I just want to point out in the picture that Heath has included in our notes, they have also clearly just been given like commemorative baseball caps as well. They're all holding these baseball caps. So there's like apparently there's evidence of sex crimes swag that they gave out as well.
We should do this when we do court stuff. This seems way more fun.
It's truly crazy. You got Jack with the fucking cowboy hat with the DC Drano guy has like a three-piece old-timey suit from the 1800s.
Yeah.
They look like they're in a time travel musical that's about sex trafficking in the future. It's fucking crazy. So from there, against all odds, it actually gets way dumber. Soon after that ridiculous photo op, Republicans from the House Judiciary Committee dropped the new information online. They posted from their official Twitter account, quote, breaking, Epstein files released, followed by a link. Of course, QAnon sleuths all over the country clicked on it, and they all got to watch Rick Astley perform his delightful 1987 hit, Never Gonna Give You Up.
Christ.
So just to recap, the Republicans of the House Judiciary Committee, while dealing with the topic of horrific sex crimes, did a Rickroll as a whimsical prank within that context.
And it's the best thing they've done in 30 years.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Not great. So the DOJ eventually released the information online for real. And that's when everyone got mad because it was pretty much nothing new. Which means the four idiots who had the binders ahead of time clearly didn't read them at all. They just held them up all excited and went to their meeting and did a picture. Well, in response to the nothing, everyone went from agog to absolutely furious and started yell typing. Like, full-on idiot fight. It was kind of fun. That includes unofficial Trump advisor, former InfoWars contributor when that was a thing, and failed political candidate Laura Loomer. She posted, quote, "Pam Blondie said a truckload of Epstein files were delivered to her in a truck."
Well, that's the best vehicle for truckloads in my experience. Yeah,
she actually specified in a truck.
In all caps, no less. Yeah.
"We still have no proof of this truck's existence. We have not seen a single photograph of the truck, and we don't have any Epstein files. I don't think we can trust Blondie."
All right, so, but what she's setting up here, though, is that Pam Bondi can just send a picture of a truck and they'll go like, oh, okay, no, she was legit. It
yeah,
was...
why the focus on the truck?
Right. What would the
I
truck
don't understand.
Prove?
So, obviously, this very sensitive topic was grossly mishandled by pretty much everyone involved, including a wildly tone-deaf, whimsical prank. Now, that being said, I want to do a prank, so hear me out. We tell Laura Loomer that we're giving her all the files, and we send a big truck to her house.
She likes trucks.
The back door of the truck opens up, and Rick Astley himself is performing live.
Yeah!
Live Rickroll. I feel like Rick would happily do that.
You got to figure that's a big part of his like income at this point is just live-action Rickrolls, right?
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. If anybody's got a connection to good old Rick, talk to us. I want to do that.
We could start a podcast for him called... Asked to Mouth.
Because Astley?
Astley is his name.
Oh.
But why to...
Speaking to podcast.
Porn?
Podcast.
What?
We speak on podcast.
Now we're closing the show on that joke. Wow, Eli. Wow.
He can cut it! He can cut it!
All right, on that
you guys
note.
Support me the whole show, and this is where you let me fall!
On that note, we're going to close it out. Thanks to No Illusions. Thanks to Eli Bosnick. And thanks to all the listeners who liked us and followed us on all the various internets. Please keep doing that. Please keep listening and please keep telling your friends. And if you find the naive stupidity of our giving away a free show business model to be oddly charming, you can send us gifts of money at patreon.com/skeptocrat. Just like all the generous new donors, you will be complimented by name next time around. And whether or not you're feeling financially benevolent, like those fine people, if you enjoyed our brand of whimsy and you'd like to hear more dick jokes free of charge, check out our brother and sister shows, The Scathing Atheist, God Awful Movies, D&D Minus, and Citation Needed, available in all the podcast places. We just have one last thing. Let's compliment that pianist. Special thanks to Ryan Slotnick of Evil Giraffes on Mars. He's the creator of the virtuosic musical stylings you heard today, which were used with permission. You should definitely check him out using the links we'll provide or by Googling the only band called Evil Giraffes on Mars. Until next time, catchphrase sign off.
Heath, did Noah tell you about my nefarious plan to create the Matreon Magic the Gathering tournament?
No. Why is that nefarious? That's awesome.
So for his birthday, I got him and Lucinda the starter set bundle that comes with like the two opening decks, the mat that teaches you how to play, and a bunch of booster packs. I feel like if I can get my hooks into him, by the time Matreon comes around, he'll be ready.
Nice. Yeah, Magic's fun.
It's one of those games that I was like really interested in until I watched somebody play it. And then they just basically spent the entire time arguing about the rules. Or not arguing about it, but like discussing the nuances of whether this card did that and didn't do that when this was that or whatever. And I was just like, no, I don't think so.
That's a huge deal. There's multiple websites dedicated to like the Midrash with like rabbis telling you how it works.
Depends on the interpretation of interrupt. Can you interrupt and interrupt?
This content is CAN credentialed, which means you can report instances of harassment, abuse, or other harm at their hotline at 617-249-4255 or on their website at creatoraccountabilitynetwork.org. The preceding podcast was a production of Puzzle and a Thunderstorm LLC, copyright 2025, all rights reserved.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.